I used to be an adventurer like you, and I took an arrow in the knee.
Aloha, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 18 of Troll Scroll, your Outer Scrolls Online podcast. Man, we've been on like a 2-week hiatus, but we're back and we have a ton of information to talk about from the press event, from PAX East, just from everywhere. Like we just got swamped. I mean, I guess it's really not that much new information. There are a couple new things, but a lot of it are specific game mechanics that have been revised since what we originally heard when the game was first announced. But first, before we dive into that, Sophie, how goes it?
Hey, I've been so busy. It's good to be back. How are you guys?
Swell. Yeah, yeah. Where have you been? What have you been busy with?
I've been busy at work. I went to the office to meet some clients. I can't say who, but work stuff. If you don't know, I'm into the gaming industry, so doing what I like. It's fun. It's amazing.
Good deal. And Tim LaPerriere, also known as La French Guy. Yep. What's up, dude?
I don't know what's going on.
It's going, dude. It's going. Good to be back. Good to be back to the show.
Good.
Excelente. And last but certainly not least, Dan the Man.
What's up, dude?
What's going on, bro?
Not much. I'm excited, you know. I haven't been here in a while. Felt like
oh, you're
forever,
excited,
so
really?
I'm ready for
interested.
This. I don't think you guys are ready
a
for
turn
this jelly.
From pre-show, but
did you say jelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know if you guys remember Destiny's Childs, but
oh my god.
Okay.
I do.
So let's get on with the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So first topic of discussion. Faction locked territories are not really locked anymore. I mean, they're sort of still locked, but they could be unlocked. Tim, give us the deets, man.
Yeah, so basically, you're not going to get your open world PvP in other players' factions, or faction territories, but what you'll be able to do is once you hit 50, you'll be able to enter a game mode called 50+. And what this is pretty much when you get into, like you said, you're level 50, you can either choose to go to, say, if you're on the Altmeri Dominion, you can either choose to go to the Daggerfall Covenant or the Everheart Pack. Okay? And you choose one, so let's say you go to Everheart Pack. Okay? Go over there. You do quests, their quests, on your Altmeri Dominion character. Okay? It's the same quest that they did, and it's not populated by their players, so you'll see your players, or I'm assuming you'll see your players instead, and the mobs are all skilled. And the gear is all skilled. So you won't be going in there getting noob gear. You'll be going in there getting gear that's better than the 50 gear that you were getting in your zone. And then after you complete 50+, you can move on to 50++, which is moving on to the next zone. So then you would be going over the Daggerfall Covenant, and you'd be doing the exact same thing, all of their quests, and you'd be doing various instances and stuff like that they have over there, and be grouping with your friends and so on and so forth, and getting better gear than what you were getting in 50+, and the monsters will be even harder than they were in 50+. So you'll be getting a lot of good stuff. I think it's pretty sweet. I'm glad they're doing that. You can play on your main character and not have to worry about jumping from different... not being able to explore everything. Because recently, and I'm sure we'll get into this in a little bit too, since our last podcast, it was kind of confirmed that you're going to be locked into one character, and by that I mean like one faction character. So you can have multiple characters, but only in one faction. So you can't have an Altmeri Dominion and a Daggerfall Covenant. You can only have Altmeri Dominion or Daggerfall Covenant or Ebonheart Pack. So that's kind of cool because now you don't have to delete your character and then switch over to another faction to see all the other content. And what's also awesome is they were saying something like each main quest line for each faction is about 120 hours long. So you're looking at probably about 360 hours worth of just story content when you just talk about the main stories or overall stories or whatever it is
sure.
in each faction. So you're looking at a lot of content, and that's just PvE. That's not including, you know, like the instances and all the other fun stuff, like PvP and Cyrodiil. So that's basically what 50 plus is.
I got a question. So do we know... I know I saw a couple sources, but it didn't specifically mention it, and maybe I missed something. But do we know that once you do go into those territories, let's say you're a player of the Aldmeri Dominion, you go into the Ebonheart Pact territories, do we know if the quest givers are going to change specific dialogue because you are an Altmer within their territory, or are they still going to address you as one of their own?
That's a good question.
I honestly I don't think they've said anything. I think they've just said that you do the same quests that other players of the different faction would have done when they went through. I hope that they kind of address you differently because it would make sense from a lore standpoint. Honestly, it's not game-breaking. It'll be weird, but it's not super, super game-breaking. But for a game that does take story kind of seriously, like The Elder Scrolls is doing, I would expect them to... At least, if they're not going to change the NPCs to your NPCs, they would change them to the fact, and by that I mean like your faction's NPCs, they would change it to at least, you know, a dark elf would address you as a high elf, and they would kind of maybe either look down upon you or say something to you or, I don't know, hate you or something like that. But I guess that would kind of affect the storytelling too, so it might not, and it may affect the quests too. So I don't know, maybe you'll be just as a high elf, right, running through, and obviously you'll be your high elf. You'll see a high elf, but the NPCs will read you as a dark elf or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a possibility.
Yeah, other than the gear that you get, you know, and the harder mobs and whatnot, did they mention anything about giving special rewards for people that finish 50 plus and 50 plus plus, like super titles maybe, or something that is kind of like an achievement?
I think, didn't they say that achievements were in the game? They're having something along those lines. I believe they said the achievements were in the game and they're coming, they're going to be in there shortly. But I don't think that they said anything specifically on titles. I wouldn't see why they wouldn't
do that.
That'd
be cool.
Though.
Yeah, I think that's something to strive for, you know? I like that.
I agree.
So this is another question I have for all of you guys. Do you guys think that this was in from the get-go? Before ZeniMax Online announced the game, or do you guys think that this is ZeniMax Online's rebuttal to the sort of divided community controversy regarding faction-locked territories?
Honestly, I think, I don't know, it could go both ways. I think, I want to say that it was in before they, because I feel like they always plan on locking you onto one faction. So I want to say that they kind of took that into consideration when developing the game early on, and they said, hey, we're going to let everybody go to every zone so they can see everything. But at the same time, I could see them... Because they said they talked about a lot of things that were going to be in the game, right? Like adventure zones, those aren't going to be in at launch. Or the Imperial City, that isn't going to be in at launch. So I'm wondering if they were planning, because they announced that stuff way back when, wondering if they were originally working on that stuff, and then they've seen all the hate about not being able to go to other factions, and they're like, okay, let's put this stuff on pause. We'll release it after the game. Let's get this 50-plus and 50-plus-plus working. I mean, that's all speculation. I have no idea. I'm just guessing, but that's a possibility.
It's very hard to say. I mean, like, it's not something that they can just, you know, decide just one morning, hey, let's do that. So they probably had it in the back of their mind, and they just something, maybe feedback, you know, from players or... They just figured, hey, we're just going to put it live and go for it.
I think they were going to have it locked from the beginning, and then they realized that it's a bit more big of a deal than they thought it was going to be within the community, and they decided to fix it with a simple solution.
See, I think part of me thinks that they always had this. They always had the plan of once you hit level 50, you can go into other territories. And the reason why is because I feel like they've never really addressed it, even though it was always a question that they were being asked on their social networking in interviews. But I feel like they never really addressed the controversy because they knew that once they unveiled this information, it would really cool down the whole mess. But I also think it was in from the get-go because that just sounds like a ton of freaking content if they're hopefully replacing the NPCs and adding up and scaling and bringing in all these quests for players to go participate in beyond their own faction's territory. I'm hoping that's the case. I guess either way, though, it's a positive thing. It's good that if it was their original intent to have faction-like territories just until level 50, and it's good if it wasn't their original intent, but they listened to the community's sort of uproar and they adjust it to what their fans wanted, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I was hoping that if they would open territories that you could go in PvE gank, but like they said that you won't be able to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's okay. I you know, one side, but I was, you know, I like to kill noobs. So anyway.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's not a perfect solution. It's satisfactory. I think it would be really, really, really cool if ZeniMax Online gave sort of a new arc, or at least have some type of arc related to RVR. So let's say you're all Ebon Art Pack, and you took over the RVR zone. It would be cool if sort of a quest arc opens up where you could go to the land of, you know, the Altmer, go to Somerset Isle or something, and the quest arc is sacking their city in follow-up to the whole RVR battle that you just finished. And it's a major PvE sort of raid-esque event, but it's only PvE, but it still feels like it's RVR a little bit. Sort of, I don't know, sort of like a Warhammer Online City Siege, but there wouldn't be opposing players. I think that would be really neat. I don't know, though. We have something new, but there's still all of that vagueness that we've seen so much with this game. Just want to say, Matt Fuhrer, was it Matt Fuhrer or Tim that said he doesn't want to give out any more information on the game, he just wants people to play it?
Yeah. I believe, yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, what information?
We're done talking about the game. We want people to get in and play it themselves.
There has to be some things we don't know yet.
There's so much we don't know yet. Oh my god.
It should be good, too, though. I mean, we're looking at it from following Tor for like 3 years, and they had new releases every Friday. Right, and then all their interviews, and then all their events, and then the Tor, you're like, by the time you got into Tor, you knew everything about the game. And it kind of, I think, kind of took a little bit away from it because you're getting in and you're like, okay, I know how this works, 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 I know what planet I'm going to next. There's no surprise in it anymore. And it kind of takes away from it. So I kind of prefer this pace a little bit more because it makes you wanting to know more and it makes you really want to get into the game because you know so little about it, but you know just enough to know that it's going to be good. Does that make sense? So you know that it's going to be good. It's going to be a lot of fun. But when you get into it, there's still that sense of surprise that you get to experience when playing a new game. So I kind of like the way they're going about it. I do wish we had a little bit more details on some aspects of the game.
Sure. Sure, sure. Any other comments about the whole faction-like territory, guys? Any other things you would like to bring up about it?
I think we're good.
I just can't wait to try it out because it's hard to, you know, have a judgment without actually playing it because there probably have some issues about it that we just haven't thought about yet and whatnot. So
I really am excited though, even though it is a little disappointing that you're not going to be able to engage in PvP, as far as we know, with other players. My explorer side of me is so relieved that I'm going to be able to experience that traditional pillar of Elder Scrolls games in TESO. So I feel like I can't really complain.
Right.
All right, next topic. It looks like we're going to get our right hand and our left hand on our screen in first-person point of view at launch. Bow-chicka-wow-wow.
Yeah, that's really unexpected for me because, I mean, you were sad before and we even talked about it last time. Like, hey, what do you think about it not being in the game? And I said, like, it's going to change the whole feel of the Elder Scrolls. So just knowing that it's going to be there at launch, and those people that have seen videos of it, it's just like, wow.
Yeah, I think Zenimax Online is having some internal communication issues. This was like 2 episodes ago. We talked about how they were adamant. No, it's not going to be in at launch. We're working on it, but no, we're primarily a 360, you know, third person game. Like, and then they just.
And you know what? They probably listened to us and said yes.
Yeah,
that was all right.
We'll just totally take the credit for it.
They also said too that originally they were only doing a 360 thing, third person, and then they kind of had in the back of their minds that they wanted to do first person, and they were seeing such support for it from the fans that they were like, oh, we kind of got to put this in there. So it was, I would say it was like last week that they decided this, but I would say, you know, maybe a month or so ago or a couple months ago, they were like, yeah, we really got to work on something like this. And they kind of greenlit it and they wanted to get something set in stone and shown and made sure that it could work first before they went ahead and actually told everybody, hey, this is going to be in the game. Because there's nothing more disappointing than being like, hey, it's in the game. And then coming to find out that it's actually not in the game or it doesn't work. So.
Danny boy, have to ask.
What's up?
What do you think about first person being in TESO?
You know, I don't have any problems with it. I won't be using it, but it's there.
It did debate quite hard about it last week, 2 weeks something, right. whenever that was.
And I have no problems with it being in. Yeah. It's going to be a good...
Yeah, he's forcing it out.
It's like, he's reading off of a sticky note.
I'm going to use my advantage.
It's going to be good.
Next thing you know, he's going to use it all the time to see why it didn't
work. Hey, maybe. Who knows? I haven't played yet.
Good times. Yeah, I'm relieved once again that they're putting in first person because... I think because first person's in game, I think all the console gamers are going to have more of a lifespan with this game.
What do you think? Us console gamers aren't adaptable?
I wouldn't even say console gamers. I mean, anybody that uses first person in general, because console gamers can use third person as well. So I'm sure that a bunch of them use third person. It's anybody that uses first person in general, I think, is going to be more turned on to the fact that they're going to have that option available to them. More so, I think it's more targeting the people that would focus rather on PvE, because it seems more like a PvE kind of thing. They were saying, you know, like in PvP, it's really not, you know, a good idea to use it. You can, and I shouldn't say it's not a good idea, but you might be at a disadvantage, or you are going to be at a disadvantage because you can't see completely around you. But like in a PvE kind of thing, and you're just questing with your friends, anybody that's used to using first person in, you know, any of the previous Elder Scrolls games, those are the people that are really going to be happy about it.
Indeed. Tim, tell us about this new multi-guilding policy? Is that what we should call it?
Oh, I really want to call it a multi-guilding policy. It's more of... I mean, I can tell you Legion's multi-guilding policy. Mm-hmm. There isn't one. Oh, there is one. You can't multi-guild. That's beside the point, though. The point that I'm trying to make here is what's going to happen is it's... I wouldn't call it multi-guilding. I would call it multi-faction policy. You really can't multi-faction in the Elder Scrolls Online. And by really... I mean, you really can't... The only way you could really multi-faction is if you bought more than one account. Because from what we've heard, you can't make a character on the Altmeri Dominion and on the Eberhard Path. Like I was saying earlier at the beginning of the podcast, you can't do two factions. That's so that you can't kind of spy on the other faction when you're in RVR. You can't really cheat. And I think that's kind of cool because now we're not going to have people, at least I feel, from a guild leader standpoint, going in and being like, hey... I'm going to go play on my Evan Hart Pack character, and you're never going to know that I'm playing over there. I'm going to join this guild because now, you know, if I mean, yeah, they can make a completely different character, and you might not ever know that they have that character on the Outlander Dominion, but they're still forced to kind of be in your faction. So regardless, they're still helping you out. You can never have guildmates that are sort of attacking against you, fighting against you, you know what I'm saying? I guess if they have multiple accounts, they could. I'm sure there'll be people out there that'll be paying $45 a month just so that they can play all three factions. I don't really know why, because it's not really necessary unless you for some reason really want to play that orc and really want to play that high elf at the same time. But the only way you can cross factions is if you have multiple accounts, or you delete your one character on your current faction and make another character in a different faction. So that's the only way they can really do it, since it's just one giant server. It's not multiple servers, because you know, on multiple server games, they could just block you per server, but multi-server.
Yep.
Faction pride.
So does this toss out Matt Frear's sort of MMORPG.com interview tease?
I wouldn't say really his tease. I mean, I think he was just kind of like, I don't think he was teasing you that you could multi-guild from faction to faction.
You mean Paul Sage? Paul Sage?
Yeah. Paul Sage.
Yeah.
God, I always mix them up. The guy that was on MMORPG.com, he was asked to verify if people in factions are only solely allowed to be in guilds in their factions, and was it Paul Sage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Said, yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
I'm not taking out the possibility, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, they probably really didn't know at that point. That was quite a few months ago.
Maybe they changed their mind. Apparently they changed on a couple things already.
Yeah, I don't see why that shouldn't be too hard of a thing to implement. The fact that you can only create one character, I don't think that would take like 7 months of programming. So that could have been something that they just decided a couple of months ago, hey, this is what we're going to do to keep Barbie. Because that was like, I think back in, what, December? Maybe November? Somewhere around there? Nah, it was probably December, January. I don't know. It was a couple of months ago, though. Definitely a couple of months ago. So it was something they could have just decided, hey, that's what we're doing.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. Very interesting. Sophie and Dan, what do you guys think about this whole notion? Are you guys glad that there's no guarantee, but this will definitely deter espionage, and it continues, Zenimax Online continues to reaffirm and reiterate their sort of be patriotic towards your own faction. We don't want you making alts on others. You guys support this?
Mm-hmm. Dan, you can go ahead. I guess.
I don't have a problem with it, you know? Whatever they think is best for the game is best for the game until I play and I say otherwise.
Dan is the supreme decider of game development.
What the frick? When did you become so passive?
Right now it sounds perfectly fine, so I don't see a problem with it.
All right.
I mean, neutral over here.
Go out there and buy multiple accounts, the sore losers. So
sore whatever. Losers? Wait, what?
I mean, if they're going to try and spy on someone, like, that, you're a sore loser.
Interesting.
That's one.
Let's talk about espionage in RVR and in MMOs in general.
Mm-hmm.
Sophie, you played Dark Age of Camelot. Tim, you played Warhammer Online. Dan, you haven't played an RVR game, which sucks.
Nah, it's okay. I know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. Sure. What do you guys think of spies in the RVR lakes relaying information back to their guilds, or just the typical guild spy that infiltrates your guild, causes a bunch of drama, dissects your guild bank, and bails?
Yeah, well, X-realming is what we call it on Dark Age. It's bannable. Like, you can't spy in a realm and go report being logged onto at the same time. Now, here on TSO, we know it's not going to be possible. Personally, I've always focused into one faction, like one realm. So I already had, you know, the idea of playing only one, even if they would have allowed all of them. So personally, it doesn't affect me. But I know some people like to try all factions. I play all three to get to know everything, but I guess there's two sides to it, really.
Tim, what's your stance on guild spying and treachery?
I hate spies. I honestly think it's a waste of time. I shouldn't say that it's a waste of time. I get the point behind spies, and I get the point for wanting to spy on a guild. I kind of feel bad for the person that has to do the spying because they kind of grow attached to the people that they're playing with, and then it makes it harder for them. I mean, that's kind of what happens to any spy, even in the real world. But honestly, I think it's sort of a waste of time for the player that has to do the spying because they're sitting there trying to gain all this information. And if a guild is smart and a guild leader knows what to look for, I mean, there's only so much they can do, right? You don't give people access to your guild bank that are just brand new to your guild, and you make people, you have to have just X amount of processes for people to go through to get promoted and so on and so forth, to get that extra access and to get that extra information. I mean, spies, honestly, it could take them 2 years, and if they're playing hardcore 2 years and stuff like that to get up all the way up there, I mean, okay, that's, to me, that's kind of a waste of time. You might as well just join that guild at that time then, because you've been playing with them for the last 2 years.
It's still in the boundaries of gameplay. You get your stuff stolen, you get your stuff, whatever, spied on. It's like, just, you know, get more organized and it won't happen. To some people, they love to do that. They love to grief, they love to steal, they love to lie. So that's a type of gameplay, and you can't blame people for wanting to troll so much. And you have to understand that sometimes it's okay, it's
you're
needed.
Right, you're right,
sometimes
let's,
you need to have
let's
this bad dude.
I disagree.
Let's just punch people in the face.
Instead of wasting all of your time spying on someone, why don't you work with your guild and your team in communication?
Well, technically speaking,
you'll be able to
destroy
anything. You won't need to relay information. Like, right. Ridiculous.
I get where it's coming from. It adds a different element to the game.
Yeah.
It kind of gives somebody that chance to kind of feel like they're 007 or something like that.
And then this takes me back.
Michael Weston from Burn Notice. But, it's really not like... I don't know. I just...
It's still Tamriel. It's not Care Bear Land, you know? You're going to have some people that are, you know what I mean?
You're right. It's not Care Bear Land.
Wow, Sophie. So, Sophie, it sounds like you're for spying.
Oh, jeez.
If it benefits my guildies, why not? It's part of the gameplay. It's in the boundaries of what is allowed.
Didn't she just say it was bannable in Dark Age?
That's what I thought she just said.
No. What is bannable in Dark Age if it's not in the boundary of gameplay? Like, you can't play the same realm into the same server. So if, in order to now it's only one server, but whatever. Like, you'd have to spy and relate information via outside source like Ventrilo, because you can't talk to enemy players. So if in game you're like, hey, you can see how many players are in the game, and you go and tell that on the other server, then you're definitely cheating. That's cheating. But I'm talking about in TSO. You go and steal of the guild bank because your guild master didn't put the ranks. That's not cheating. That's just taking advantage of boundaries of gameplay.
That's exploitation.
That's
okay. That's exploitation.
That's okay.
I don't have like a problem with that because that's your own guild leader's fault for not taking charge.
I still have a problem with it. That's cheating in real life.
That's a game.
Be what you can't be.
you gotta stop like comparing things to real life.
If you want to be a spy, go be a spy in real life. Like,
here we go.
Be a CIA.
Oh my god!
Why do you resort back to being a spy or real life situations?
Because in real life, I mean, if you want to do it, that's not to be used in a game where they'd have a slot as a spy. Like, you could be in your play a game and there'd be a spy slot, so you could go and transform your guy, kind of just like in Team Fortress 2.
Right, sure. Okay, not to get too far off topic here, but people play video games because they want to live the life of another person when in the gaming world, not because their life sucks or anything, before you say anything like that, but because they just want to escape the real world and experience something new. So why would somebody want to join and be? Why would you suggest somebody be a spy in real life when if they would just want to experience what it would feel like?
Because that's not really what a spy is like.
What?
Well, being a spy in a video game is totally different from being a spy in real life.
then why would you suggest it to be a spy in real life to get the sensation of being a spy in a video game if they're nothing the same, nothing alike?
My whole point is there shouldn't be spies in video games. If you, that's not spying. If you want to be a spy, you go and do it in real life, because in a video game, it's not nowhere near as being a spy.
What about the guilds that really want to focus into role-playing and they want to have this thief guild and they just create the whole sensation? Okay. That's okay.
I agree with you to a point, Dan. There's a loose comparison between being a, you know, operative for the CIA and being a in-game video game avatar that's spying on other guilds. But they both have a big impact. They're both undercover. They're both victimizing people that don't know they're being victimized. And they're relaying intelligence to the people that they want to win. So, yeah, it sort of is similar to what we know of as espionage.
Okay.
I'm just saying, though. I'm just saying, all right. So, I know Dark Age of Camelot and Warhammer Online, it was in the rules. What's it called? The Uelu, whatever?
Ula.
You cannot cross realm at all. No cross realm communication. It's a bannable offense. Do you guys think that this should be just as much as a penalty being banned for spying as for hacking?
I mean, I think it definitely takes away from it. If it's frustrating because there's nothing you can really do about it. Okay, if there's a spy in your guild, from a different guild in your faction, for whatever reason they decide they spy on you, piss somebody off in your faction, they want to spy on you and know your secrets, then fine, okay, whatever. There's really, I mean, you can kind of watch what you do in that sense. You kind of have control over your guild members, so you can kind of search for that spy or whatever. I still don't think it's the best way to play your game, but it's your choice. You can do that if you want. But if somebody is logging in on a different account and looking through to see, you know, they got a level 10 character and they're sitting in the most northeastern part of Cyrodiil or whatever, and they're trying to figure out, hey, how many people do we have here? What are we doing? What's our move?
Exactly.
What's going on here?
Exactly.
That's nothing. You can't really do anything about that, because people are always going to be talking in you know, PvP chat. People are going to be talking in Cyrodiil chat or whatever. They're going to be able to find out all that information. There's nothing that we can do to prevent them from figuring out tactics. So at that point, it's out of your control. It's out of your reach. I think that's sort of a bannable, I think that should be a bannable offense, because it just takes away from the game. It's not fun. It's frustrating when there's something that you can't control is preventing you from having fun with the game.
It's sort of a terrifying thought to think that one person can look at general chat, and I'm 100% positive that when we get in RVR and Cyrodiil, the players on each realm are going to be communicating with each other in general or global chat within that zone.
Right.
And one person can relay that information to their guild, and then that guild, who has a realm captain, communicates that with his alliance, and then the alliance communicates that with their global chat, and they totally know what's coming. They totally... The whole element of surprise is just taken away. It takes away the whole strategy. It could ruin everything for that realm, is my point.
But what makes you think that global chat won't be locked by faction? Is that something they said? Or
No. It will be locked by faction. But the spy player who has a character in the enemy faction will see what they're saying on the enemy global chat, right? And then he relays that information over a VoIP server to his guildies.
Right.
Back to the...
That's crappy. That's
yeah,
crappy.
That's really, really shitty.
Hey, that's a spy. You guys agreed with it a couple minutes ago.
What?
No, the whole spying within a faction... It's something that you can control. Ninja looting somebody's bank is what we were getting at, which is what we were agreeing with. Ninja looting is your own fault. If your guild bank gets ninja looted, that's your fault. If a faction from the Altmeri Dominion, and you're in the Altmeri Dominion, sends a spy to your guild, and you accept him and promote him all the way up to second in command, and he tells the other guild all your secrets, that's your own fault.
Yeah.
You weren't taking precaution. But having some random guy jump in and sit in the northeastern corner of Cyrodiil and relay all that information, that takes away from the experience.
Yeah. That's not a guild thief. That's a freaking legitimate, like, spy for that entire realm. And that's really terrifying. That's really terrifying. And you know what sucks about that, too, is if opposing players start to find out that the people they're fighting are spying on them, then they're going to feel compelled to spy back. Because, oh, it's just making an even playing field. That's fair game. They're spying on us. We'll spy on them. And then it creates this entire domino effect of...
I think ZeniMax will have it under control. We don't need to worry about it.
I hope. I hope.
You know, based on my experience, even if the information is being relayed, you still have to have the number to kill them. So sometimes just even knowing that they're there, I mean, sometimes it's even given that they're at this location or doing that, that doesn't mean that you will still be able to take advantage. Now that's something, I mean, I guess it's a 50-50 chance, but actually, no, it's a 33 now. But it's not sure that even if you have a spy, you're going to be able to do anything better, you know, you just know something. So... go and try and kill. It doesn't mean that you can.
Still probable, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say you are the underdog, and you're fighting a Zerg, and you want to try to ninja keeps to prevent Cyrodiil from being flipped. Well, that's going to be a pointless fight, because you're going to just be screwed. That spy is going to take away that extra time you had to do.
Talking about cheating, you know, this whole spying thing, okay, it's a bad thing, but I'm more concerned, it's something that I've not even read in any place, but I'm concerned about the macroing. You know how the skills is going to work? They confirm when you level up, you get one attribute point and you get one skill point. The attribute is your health, your magicka, your stamina, and your skill point is into one skill that you've unlocked. And to unlock a skill where you have, it's a skill base, to unlock a skill, say, in two-hand sword, you need to use your two-hand sword. So to people that just want to, you know, unlock all the skills, they just have to, you know, to skill base. How does that work in a game where skill base in PvP? People can just go macro, AFK, get skills up. Isn't that anyone's worry? Like, it's my worry. No one talks about it, but hey, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I fear it's going to happen.
I knew someone in Warhammer Online that would... prevent his character from getting disconnected from the server because he numlocked his character, so he was constantly running, right? Automatically.
He'd run up a wall and then fall.
Run up a wall and fall.
And his character would never log out because the game rendered it as he's not running in place, he's running up a wall and falling, so he's moving.
Yeah, so he's active.
And so he would stay logged in. I know exactly what you're talking about. He'd stay logged in for like 48 hours, 72 hours at a time, and he'd just grind Renown. And, you know, Renown at a higher level, obviously, it's really, really tough to get, and he'd be able to crank out just ridiculous amounts of Renown because
it was stupid. It was stupid. Like, you would see him online, and he would be, like, 20 levels the next time you saw him.
He'd be like, hey, what's up, dude? And he wouldn't respond. And then you'd look to find out where he's at, and he's in the exact spot that he's, you know, Renown grinding, and you're like, wow. Even as a guildie, it's like, that's really dumb.
Shameful.
Yeah.
Shameful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and didn't they confirm that there's going to be add-ons in TESO?
No. UI add-ons.
Yeah, interesting.
Nothing like graphical updates or anything like that, or anything that gives you a significant... Oh, I shouldn't say significant.
Yeah, nothing like the Skyrim mods.
Right, can't like just spawn random weapons and stuff like that. But yeah, there'll be like UI add-ons and stuff like that. So
I hope they come out with an RVR add-on. I forget what it was called in Warhammer. Shoot. I think it was called War... Was it War Report? I forget. It was freaking awesome, though. Great add-on, but they can't have something like War Buddy where it's freaking stupid overpowered, like you die and you could like res yourself and it was a total hack add-on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't let that happen, ZeniMax.
The one too, it was like Twister, where like you just had to push one button and it cycled through. Like if you were a what was it, the
tank, the chosen tank, or chosen, yeah, Knight of the Blazing Sun.
Yeah, you had those three buffs that you could just cycle through, and it had all three buffs at the same time, and you just kept spamming the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, 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 that add-on was bullshit. But good times, good times, guys. Let's jump into the most recent question of the week.
My name's Daniel Behan, and I'm a customer service manager here at ZeniMax Online Studios. We recently hosted our second preview event where members of the press got to sit down and play the game. What information from the event coverage are you most excited about, and why?
All right, question of the week. Grizzly boy, what are you looking forward to?
The beta invitations. I mean,
well, I guess I shouldn't say what are you looking forward to. What did you enjoy most?
The beta invitations. I was on Twitter. I saw that there were beta invitations were sent out. It went to my email. You know, didn't get one. Was not surprised, but I can't wait for the beta to get one. It's going to be magical.
I'm sure. What are you going to do that's so magical when you get one?
I'll be playing the game and you won't, so you won't know.
Oh, gee.
I'll spy and take it from you.
Yeah, you wish, buddy.
Sophie.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey.
Damn. Yeah. So original here.
Hey.
That's cool, though. No, I totally dig it. I totally dig it. Beta is right around the corner. Oh, also, just to reaffirm to our listeners and viewers, we will not be talking about anything in beta unless we have ZeniMax Online's explicit permission. So don't come to Troscrow.com looking for leaked videos and all that jazz. I was surprised to see I was looking on the Elder Scrolls Online Reddit before show. There's a ton of leaked video content up there from beta.
I can't believe
that hasn't been moderated or anything. Bizarre. Anyways, Tim LaPerriere, what did you enjoy most from the press coverage? That was so great. Great press coverage. So not contradictory and inconsistent.
Beta? No, I'm kidding. Wow. That was a joke. What I think is cool is they kind of talked about how the keep sieges are going to be a big role in RVR, but what's also a big role and what's cool is that you'll be able to experience big epic battles in fields. So they've said that one of the biggest things for me was the fact that you were able to place siege weapons anywhere you wanted to in Citadel. I know early on in Warhammer they had like little platforms that you had to set them on, which was kind of dumb. But I like the idea that you can set them up wherever you want. You guys can meet up somewhere in a field. If you're just walking through a field and you come across another faction, you can just rain heck on them. You can set up all your catapults, your trebuchets, and all that stuff and just start launching crap at them and have these epic battles in like a forest or in a field or a town or whatever. So I think that's kind of cool.
Indeed. Good deal. All right, guys and gals, that is episode number 18 of your Elder Scrolls Online podcast, Troll Scroll. We apologize for the two-week hiatus, but we're getting back into the game. We've been busy, to say the least.
Yo, Tom.
Yeah, what's up, bro?
No mail time questions?
No mail time. We didn't get any mail time questions today.
What? Oh, they're letting me down. It's my favorite part.
You know, I did get a funny message, though. Give me a sec. You guys, we get a kick out of this.
Mail time questions are my favorite part.
I tweeted everyone who's watching. I tweeted just like I usually do every week. Tweet at Real Troll Scroll your mail time questions. We'll answer them on the show, which I encourage you to do. This guy named Christian Gutierrez, I'm calling you out. He said, at the Hooli, at Real Troll Scroll, I hate you, guy. What did I do to this kid? What did I do to this kid? We should try and offer him an opportunity to get some questions answered that he may... Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Gotta love the internet. Gotta love the internet.
Yeah.
Great place.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. I guess it's not really funny. It's sort of depressing.
I think you could have offended him somehow.
At least you're not getting tweets to show more.
How would I have offended him? If there's anyone that's going to offend anyone, it's going to be probably you, Dan.
That's true, but
Sophie, maybe, I get that email all the time.
Maybe all I know is, like, you say but I don't even know how you say, it's supposed to be Bethesda, but you call it Bethesda or something.
I had that issue like 10 episodes ago and I fixed it.
Maybe this guy holds a grudge. I mean, I don't know.
Doubt it.
That's the only reasonable explanation that I can think of.
That's very unreasonable. What were you saying, Sophie?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Hi.
Oh, okay.
If anybody who's listening, you can just rewind that bad boy and hear what she said in the background.
Was it you, Sophie? Was it one of your alt accounts?
No. Why would I do that?
I would do that.
Okay, Dan. Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
Episode 18 of Trollscroll. Tim, tell us where you can be found on Twitter. Oh, yeah. Have you tweeted, by the way?
No.
Oh, wait a minute. No.
Don't worry about where you can find me.
You won't even tweet a freaking mail type question.
I'll let you know when I start tweeting. It's
How about your first tweet is telling that guy off? How does that sound? Hey, bro, back off.
Hey, bro. Tweet.
Yeah. Oh, good times. Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sophie, what about you?
Yeah, Tim. You know what? I hope you're not offended, but...
Oh, I don't care.
I don't think we should give out your Twitter name anymore.
I mean, if and ever I start using Twitter, I'll...
Yeah, well, guys, yes.
And I mean, don't follow me. I mean, God.
Yeah, just for some reassuring, you know, God forbid Tim does tweet, but we will promote it.
Yeah.
But right now, we're on standby.
That's my fault. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so if you freaking destroy Tim's tweeting self-esteem...
Yeah, it's gone. It went down the
can't river. Let him fly away.
Now it's gone. No more tweeting for me.
Sophie, where can you be found on Twitter?
Twitter at EitherBrecca, EaderBrecca.
Nice. And Dan the Man.
Tim, I'm not much better tweeter than you are. I mean, I'm a little bit better. If you tweet at me, I'll tweet you back. But
Dan,
I don't usually
tweet at all. Okay.
As he has actually.
Then you're a better tweeter than me.
Okay, then that is true. And you can find me at Dan Delsignor.
Excellent day. Tim, can you give everyone the guild breakdown?
Guild breakdown, Legion. Find us at legion.engine.com. That's
Legion HQ.
Yep, right. I lied. Do not go to Legion. Well, I mean, if you really want to, you could go there. But legionhq.engine.com. That's embarrassing. I apologize for that. That's ENJIN. Our guild is a high elf only guild, which means you have to be a high elf to join the guild. You cannot be a red guard or an orc. Or a Khajiit, or a Wood Elf, or an Imperial. You can't play Imperials, so don't try to join the guild as an Imperial. And on top of that, if you really want to, and you can't find our URL because I gave you the wrong URL, you can just go to trollscroll.com, go to the top right-hand corner of the screen, and give that little link a click, and it'll take you right to our website. Give our webpage a check, see what you kind of like about the website, check around on the different tabs up top, and read up about the guild. If you're interested, why? If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about it, send us a message via the Contact Us tab, and we'd be more than happy to get back to you and answer any questions that you might have.
Excellente! Good deal.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me, guys. My name is Tom Powers. Thank you for listening to Troll Scroll episode number 18. Have a pleasant Easter. And spring break.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going on spring break.
Spring break!
Be safe.
Yep.
Be good.
Bye guys.